The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I'd like to use the analogy of learning to ride a bicycle, or riding a bicycle. If you don't know how to ride a bicycle, then you can still obsess about where you're going to go ride your bicycle, thinking about where you're going to get to. Oh, I'm going to ride the back roads of Napa Valley. I'm going to go ride along the beach. I'm going to do, you know, all kinds of things. But if you don't know how to ride the bike, thinking about where you're going to go, you know, it's interesting exercise, but a little bit of waste. And then you could also be thinking a lot about the bike you're going to get. You know, I'm going to get this super-duper $800 bike. I hear they have bikes that are even more expensive than that. A lot more. And, you know, I'm going to get that one, you know, the one that's $2,000. I'm going to get that bike, you know, and shiny and black and chrome tires. I don't know what. 52 gears. And, you know, it's an interesting thing about the different bikes you're going to get. But if you don't know how to ride a bike, you know, it's kind of silly, right? Or you can think about how people are going to love you so much when, if you become the perfect bike rider, then you'll be the best, most praised person on your block for your bike skills. People will love you so much. And you can just go around very proud. You can get one of these bicycle uniforms people wear. Tight pants. People really know that you have, you know, you're a bike rider. And people can kind of treat you with the respect that you deserve.
You'll be able to shave your legs.
The bike riders do that? They shave their legs? I guess you can do that before you learn to ride the bike. And so it's possible to obsess on these things so much that when you're finally going to learn how to ride the bike, you're thinking about where you're going, not about the riding the bike, and you fall over. You're thinking about the bike that you finally got. You know, say you have this $4,000 bike, you don't have to ride and you fall over, right? Or you can think about, you know, how all your neighbors are going to praise you to no end when, you know, because you're the world's best bike rider. You know, you're obsessed, you fall over. You're thinking about that, you fall over. And there's all these kind of concerns which you need to put aside if you're going to learn to ride the bike or ride the bike. If you need to learn to ride the bike, you have to focus on your abilities, what you contribute to the situation. You have to focus on the skills that you need to develop. You have to focus on learning balance. You have to focus on learning how to get momentum going so that easier to hold your balance. You have to learn how to shift gears. You have to learn how to navigate the potholes, how to, how you handle the bumps and whatever. And there's a lot of skills you learn that you need to learn. And you have to focus on that internal world of skill building in order to learn to ride that bike. And there's a whole series of things, internal kind of things we monitor, we keep track of as we learn to ride the bike. These things get developed over time. And there has to be some ongoing monitoring of these things, these inner kind of psychophysical qualities of things, in order to be able to ride the bike. So in the same way with meditation. Meditation requires us to monitor something internal. It becomes second nature after a while, just like riding a bike becomes second nature. It requires us to monitor something. And it's something which is not a thing. It's not a what, but it's a how. It's a how we are, and it's something that's in process. And we have to be able to be interested in this inner process of what's going on. And that's become more interesting than our interest of where meditation is going to take us. It's going to be more interesting than having the right shaved legs for meditation. or the right uniform. The right uniform, you know, for meditation. It's going to be, has to be more important than the identity that you think you're going to get from meditating or spiritual life. You know, that people think I'm enlightened, people will love me so much more. You know, I'll be the hottest person at IMC. Whatever, you know, what's going on. There's a whole series of things which which are not helpful to focus on. What's necessary to focus on is the inner processes going on. And to be interested enough that we can start riding the bike, start learning what goes on, take responsibility, monitor, keep track of it. So there has to be, it's one of the reasons why we let go a lot in meditation, is not only is letting go good because it hurts to hold on, but if we are preoccupied with all these other things, we can't learn to ride the bike. We can't focus on what's going on. So what are some of the things that we need to develop inside, these qualities inside? And what I'd like to focus on today here is five qualities. And it's called in Buddhism it's called the five faculties. And so it's confidence, persistence, mindfulness, concentration, and discernment, or sometimes called wisdom. And so to these are five processes within us that come into play when we're learning to meditate, when we engage in a spiritual life. And are they there in an adequate form, and are they operating together in an appropriate way? And these five faculties are faculties that are relevant for any kind of endeavor that people are involved in, not just for meditation. They're relevant for riding bicycles. You have to have an adequate amount of confidence to ride your bike. If you don't have any, if confidence is lacking, confidence at least you can learn it, you're probably going to have a much harder time learning. You have to have an adequate level of effort, of persistence, of engagement. Otherwise, you can't ride the bike well. You know, it's one thing to sit on the bike and think, well, if I just sit here and accept, you know, I'll learn how to ride the bike as you fall over. You have to make some effort. And there has to be some mindfulness. You have to be able to track what's going on, monitor what's going on, be present for what's going on in some careful way. And there has to be some stability, some inner stability. If you're agitated, it's hard to do any of this. If you're agitated and really restless, it's hard to stay properly on the bicycle. So there has to be some inner stability, which is the primary function of concentration, is to really create some inner ballast, some inner foundation that allows us to kind of hold our ground, be still, and be here. And then there has to be some capacity to be discerning. And discerning here means ability to monitor what's going on, which is mindfulness, and then be able to see distinctions between all the different things going on to know what is useful to do and not useful to do. So, for example, if you're riding a bike, bicycle riders are constantly being discerning. You have to be. You have to discern what's going on with the terrain. Is it a slope? And you adjust yourself. You see the hill coming up, and you adjust your pedaling accordingly. You change your gear as you go uphill. You change your breathing. There's a lot of things that change depending on the terrain. The distance you're going to bike affects the pace you want to set. If you go a short distance, you can go bike faster. If it's going really far, you go. If the road is wet, you ride the bike differently, more carefully than if it's dry, if it's gravel. And there's all these different things that you adjust and take care of. And after, if you're a good bike rider, it becomes second nature so much you don't even think you're doing it. But same thing with meditation. There's a process of discernment that's operating there. And that discernment is there enough confidence here? Or do I lack confidence in the practice, in myself, in the path where I'm going? Is there enough persistence? Is there enough discipline here to kind of keep doing it? Do I need to apply myself more? Am I applying myself too hard? Am I making too much effort here? Am I bearing down too tightly on the experience? Is the mindfulness really, do I really understand mindfulness? Is the mindfulness really mindfulness? Some people think that if they think about things, that's being mindful. And mindfulness has some really beautiful qualities that are inherent in mindfulness. And part of mindfulness, inherent in mindfulness, is a feeling of there's a freedom or independence that's found in a clear moment of mindfulness. And so some people think they're mindful, but they're really, their mindfulness is entangled with other associations and ideas and approaches. They might be entangled with thinking, it might be entangled with grasping, with expectation, it might be entangled with self-identity. And it's not, the mindfulness is not pristine, it's not just simple in and of itself. So to be able to kind of look at the quality of the mindfulness, can we adjust it a little bit here? Can I be mindful without expectation? Can I be mindful without measuring myself? And then is there stability? You know, are we present in a stable way, or are we agitated? Are we kind of spinning our wheels with our thinking? So these are very simple questions that that the function of discernment asks and looks at. One of the things that discernment looks at in meditation is how are you being discerning? If you're being discerning so your mind gets more unstable, more agitated, and more restless, then discerning is not being useful. So can you discern, can you use your wisdom in a way that's supportive of becoming more peaceful, more calm, more still, suffering less? So what I'm pointing to here is that it's a series of five processes which don't exist unless you use them, don't exist unless they're activated. They have no absolute existence, but they come into play in any human endeavor, and they come into play with meditation practice. And so how do we monitor and look at this is an important part of practice. And the primary point I wanted to make today is that you have to be have confidence and interested that monitoring this inner world is a valuable thing to do, as opposed to confidence in the other things your mind is caught up in. The mind can be caught up in many, many things that take you away from the present moment. And even if you're in the present moment a little bit, it's not really, the mind can be preoccupied with things which are not very useful, like your identity or where you're going or a variety of things. And so can you kind of learn that shift? Meditation requires something of us and requires a shift of switching our attention from preoccupations, from things, ideas, to processes. And it's these inner processes we're paying attention to. And once we're paying attention to processes, we're paying attention to something which is dynamic and in flux and moving like a river. And so we learn to kind of to flow in that river of change of the processes rather than being stuck in the ideas that we can have, the fixations we can have, the concepts that we reify our reality with or reify ourselves with. And the last thing I'll say about this reification process, this solidifying concepts and getting caught around concepts, it's kind of like taking a bucket of water, the bucket down to the river and filling it with water and walking away saying, I have the river here in the bucket. You don't have the river in the bucket. You now have water in the bucket. Once you've latched onto a concept, this is how things are, this is how things is, then you've removed yourself from the flow of the processes. Once you start thinking about what had just happened, either it's a minute ago or 5 seconds ago or a day ago, you've pulled yourself out of the river. And if you want to meditate, you have to go put yourself back in the river of these processes, which by very nature only unfold in the present moment, only present moment phenomena. And so to step out of the world of things, out of the world of concepts, into the world of the inner processes is one of the things that's necessary in order to kind of be able to enter more deeply into this world of meditation. So I hope that is helpful. If not, leave it here. So now we have about 15 minutes for doing our cleaning. Those of you who can stay, it's appreciated because it's only by people volunteering here that we're able